Welcome everyone to Born Offside. It is a very special day, everyone. Manchester United are no longer the team that we're all talking about, but that's not really the speciality of the day. I don't even know why I started with that. Managers are on the ropes everywhere you look. Emre's on a tight one. David Farke's in the doghouse. Hasenhüttl regrets his rabbit hutching. Pochettino's possibly on the verge, and Pellegrino is in the shitter. With me as always, Dave, mates, do you have your P45 ready? Because there are going to be some jobs going soon.
I don't think that any of them will want to employ me.
Okay.
Due to the fact that I have zero experience, and with most of those teams, I would actively try to take them down as soon as I possibly could.
Right, fair enough. You wouldn't be able to take your fan hat off, would you?
Well, what's the point, mate? Yeah. If you're a professional manager and you do a shit job, they pay you millions of pounds to go away, which I'm all
very
up
true.
For. I'm well up for it. You know, can you imagine Arsenal paying me £8 million to never manage them again? Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I love that money.
And in the meantime, you get the sort of double jeopardy thing of the possibility of putting them in the shitter as well, and making them a really crap team of putting Jens Lehmann up front again, because he's back.
I mean, Arsenal are doing a fairly good job of proving themselves to be shitty themselves. They don't need my help for that, but like...
That's very, very true. It's been an incredible. We're recording this pod strangely on a Saturday. On a Sunday. Sorry.
See, Jason doesn't even know what day it is. And how
even
long
I
is
don't
it
know
since
what
we
day
lasted?
A,
how, let's address the elephant in the room, mate. How long is it since we lasted
all
a
right.
pod?
About
a year.
It feels like that way, but mate, I think it's only been about 2 or 3 weeks actually. It just feels like a year because we've been doing two every week so far until a short while ago, and of course we've been having a few problems, everybody. So do many apologies for that, but are back.
Zero apologies.
No apologies.
Zero,
sorry,
zero apologies.
Rewind all of that. Zero apologies for that. We are back. We don't care whether or not you're happy.
We might leave again.
We very well might. Mate, you're just sowing the seeds right in there, aren't you? I mean, that's just obvious. That's going to happen, you bastard. All right, anyway, mate, let's just get on with this because, mate, it's been a very, very tough couple of weeks for everybody. I put it to you, Mr. Hooker, that one of the main reasons why you haven't been pushing for us to do the pod and why you've thought,
it's
well...
It's because Spurs are shit.
Because Spurs are so shit.
Oh, we're really...
Which is very,
really
very
bad.
Unprofessional of you. It's very unprofessional of you.
And
you
of
should
them.
Be coming on here anyway.
It's
yeah,
not just
yeah,
me,
fair enough.
It's them. They're also unprofessional. Blame it on them.
Languishing in 12th place in the Premier League.
Are we
mate,
that high?
I'll put it to you. I'll put it to you straight out here, mate. Like, seriously, tell me, is top four gone?
It's looking that way. I don't think it's gone yet.
Not by the
results. It's only by November. Oh, no, I mean, if we keep playing like this, it's relegation.
Exactly, exactly.
It's
I mean,
really
talking,
bad. It's really bad.
I don't think anybody could have possibly anticipated the run of form, of the results that have happened of late. Okay, let's put the Red Star Belgrade thing to one side because...
Can we play them every week?
Every week, yeah. You should be playing them all the bloody time. 9-0 over two games
really
is not
great against
bad
them.
At all. Yeah. And everyone's saying that, you're going away to Red Star Belgrade. And of course, they're very tough. Liverpool lost there last time they went there, you know. So, for you to go over there and spank them with four in there, that was pretty amazing. But mate, let me just run you past some of the results that you've had, and we'll start. I'll tell you what, we'll start from back in September when Tottenham beat Southampton 2-1. Well done, by the way, for beating Southampton 2-1 at the end of September. But bring on October, 7-2 against Bayern, of course, 3-0 against Brighton, 1-1 against Watford. We said we're going to forget about the Red Star Belgrade. 2-1 loss to Tottenham.
Liverpool.
And then the 1-1 draw yesterday. Mate, do you want to... What's the problem?
I mean,
what's happening? What's happening there? What's happening?
What's happening? Well, mate, honestly, in all seriousness, and I'm not saying this as just as a fickle thing, Pochettino has to go. Like, if you watch them play, they've had enough. Like, so the first initial problem is that Eriksen, like, if anyone watched the Everton game last weekend, Eriksen was appalling. He was awful. Like, he was, just, I mean, and he's a world-class, you know, at the top of his peak of his powers, I'd put him in the top 10 players in the world. Like, I really would. I mean, that means I'd put him at 10, but still, like, I put him in, I put him in that bracket. Like, he's a quality player. But he's been awful. Yeah. This season, he doesn't want to be there. Like, and there's a very strange thing because I, you know, if you read the Pochettino book that he did with Guillaume Balague, he talks in that about why Kyle Walker was dropped. It was for the Chelsea.
It should have been
semi-final.
About a year ago, wouldn't it?
This this is 2-3 years ago, whenever it was that Kyle Walker, but basically, Kyle Walker walked into Pochettino's office and said, Gaffer, I don't want to play. I want to move to Man City next year, right? And Walker thought he was all being honest and upfront. And Pochettino was pissed at him because he was like, why are you telling me now? We've got like 2 months of the season left. We can deal with it in the summer. And then as a punishment, Pochettino dropped him for the rest of the season. Hmm. But now with the same situation, I mean, what Eriksen, what Rose, what Alderweireld at the very least, Vertonghen is a bit more kind of muddier waters.
We don't know. Yep.
But those three shouldn't be anywhere near the team because Pochettino has laid out this foundation of if you're not with us, you're not with us and you're with the reserves. And he hasn't done that with those three. And
okay, well, there's a couple of things here, though. Like, one, Levy could have possibly put a rocket up him and just said, look, what you did last time was not a good idea, not only for the results and not only for, you know, for what you're doing, but also for the resale value of the players, right? He probably
still got 50 million for Kyle Walker. I mean,
No, that was pretty good. Yeah, it's true. But I mean, you know, this time, is Levy, that not a possibility?
Possible, you know, I mean, but Levy's got to play Eriksen. Bollocked all of that up as well. Like, I mean, Eriksen, he should have sold him to whoever for whatever amount he wanted to.
Yeah, that's gone now. Isn't
I mean,
it,
Danny,
really?
Danny Rose is not even a good player anymore. He's had, I mean, I love Danny Rose he tried so hard and he was.
Yes.
But he's had some horrific injuries. Like, you let Danny Rose, you know, if Eriksen is available, the top six are interested in him. You know, they would be interested. They would sit down and have a conversation. No one's having a conversation about buying Danny Rose in the top six. Like, none of them. Like, they're all like, meh, no, what, he's 29-ish? No. Alderweireld, yeah, probably Manchester United probably want to pick him up because they have a problem with centre-backs. But Alderweireld's not on the radar of City or Liverpool or,
maybe
Arsenal and United, maybe. But Alderweireld wanted to go
for Trippier then, you know? Maybe Rose should be looking at Trippier thinking like, God, you did it, you know? You did it and you did it right.
That's because, another thing that makes zero sense to me, that Trippier left and wasn't replaced. And Aurier is Aurier and we all know how bad Aurier is. I mean,
leave it there. Yeah,
he's always been mental, bless him, Serge. Great on Instagram. And then Kyle Walker-Peters, he's been injured for a lot of the season, but I'm not even convinced that he's the player. Juan Foyth is the choice. But the thing is that Pochettino, like a couple of times, notably in the, he did it in the Slavia Prague games, he's gone, right, I'm going to play Sanchez and Dyer at the back or Sanchez and Foyth at the back. I'm going to play Ben Davies on the left. I'm dropping Eriksen out in the midfield and I'm putting Lamela or Lo Celso in there. And fine, we'll suffer in the short term, but in the long term, they'll be better. But then there's also this point of the game yesterday was a really beautiful demonstration of it. Those Sheffield United players played with an energy and an intensity that the Tottenham players were nowhere near. Like, they were way, way off it. They are not. And, like, you look at Harry Kane in the last 20 minutes of that game and he's knackered. He's not fit. He's not in the proper mental condition. They are not at the level of intensity that they need to be and that Pochettino had them at previously. And I point you to Klopp's last season at Dortmund. And they had a horrible... They actually won the German Cup, but they finished outside of the relegation zone by, I think it was 5 or 6 points. They only stayed up on the penultimate weekend of the season. They were horrendous. And someone, you know, asked Klopp what happened. And Klopp said, they're sick of my voice. They've had enough of my voice. They're not listening to me anymore. The messages that I've been saying to them, they're like, oh, again? And you can see the exact same thing is happening at Tottenham. They don't want to train at and be at the intensity that Pochettino wants and needs them to. They've had enough. They need something different. They need a different voice. And we should, honestly, we should play it sensible. Wait for Solskjaer to fuck up at United, which he's doing, and he'll continue to do. Ed Woodward gives us 40 million for him, and you know what? He'll go in and he'll make United. He'll make United because he'll be a new voice there, and he'll he'll do really well. But we need something and someone different. And I look at like someone like Allegri, or even someone like Ten Hag at Ajax. Who, if you don't snap him up now, your big teams are going to come come pick him up. Nagelsmann
There's some good guys. There's some good guys out there. Absolutely, Mourinho. You know, I mean, there's some great ones.
Don't you, Jose Mourinho? Me? Fuck off with your Jose Mourinhos.
Jose's in there. Wenger's available. You know, snap him up quick. You know, apparently he's going to Bayern. Come on.
He is. He can go there.
You don't want it. You know. No, and it was amazing, really, wasn't it? Because yesterday it epitomized it. Like, anyone who wants to know, anyone who hasn't watched Tottenham this whole season, and if you want to know exactly what has been happening to Tottenham this whole season, do watch those last 10 to 20 minutes of the match yesterday, when Sheffield United were pretty much all over Tottenham, you know, and Tottenham went ahead undeservedly, really, didn't they? And Sheffield United's that's one of the things about Sheffield United as well. A lot of people have been saying, you know, okay, they're recently promoted and all this stuff and everything, but actually they've been playing brilliant football. They've been really, really good. And, you know, they've only lost away to against Liverpool, I think, is the only one that they've done.
No, they haven't lost away all season, I think.
They haven't lost away all season, or they've lost at home. Did they lose at home to...
They lost at home to Liverpool. And then they drew away at Chelsea and... there was another top six team that they've been away to and gotten a draw at.
Okay.
I can't remember, but yes.
You know, but they're great, and they're showing amazing fighting spirit, and Chris Wilder's basically got...
I love Chris Wilder.
...gotten really going for it. Yeah.
I love him. He's like a part dad, part PE teacher, part Guardiola. And the Guardiola bit is really small, but he's always upset in post matches. Like they could go to Barca next week and win 8-0 and he'd be upset at something.
He'll be upset at something. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, yesterday he was upset at the VAR, wasn't he, really? And I don't know. I mean, VAR's VAR, right? And to be honest, we don't like talking about it. We're not going to talk about it. A lot of people are really, really infuriated about it. But to be honest, like, they, you know, his toe was offside. And so his toe is offside.
I mean, them's the rules. It's weird, no? For offside, everyone's like, oh, come on, his toe. Or even it happened to Tottenham in the game at Leicester. Yeah. His armpit. His fucking armpits. Like, offside is offside. Like, but when you have a ball going over the line for the goal line decision, right? Yeah. And it's over the line. No one goes, oh, it's only a millimeter over.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. He's offside. I mean, now they've started to do this thing where they're actually moving, you know, someone's there with a mouse, right? And moving the lines, you know, in line with whatever. And some people are saying... some people are saying the line is not in line with the lines that are drawn on the pitch, right? And I'm thinking, my first thought straight away is, there's more chance that the line on the pitch is not right, mate. I know that they do. Yeah, there's always bendy lines, right? If you play, it doesn't matter what league and what level
watching those VAR things, where you see the mouse come on the screen and you see the bars being attached and everything.
Yep. Yes.
What I love is that the person who's doing it is clearly cracking under the pressure. They've done it. Yes. They've done it in practice. And in practice, it's like, okay, like, well, just time you.
No problem.
As if it was this situation. Okay, and go. Dun, click, click. Oh, brilliant. But then on game day, they're like, oh, no, don't click that. Clear. Left, left.
Hurry up. Right. Control Z. Control Z. Ah.
You know how, like, you can't, like, if someone comes and watches your computer screen, you can't do it under pressure, right? You can't type,
yes,
or you can't click, or you can't find the button.
Even if you're amazing at it. Totally. It's exactly like that. You're totally right. And, you know, he's completely under pressure to be able to do something properly. And, you know, the lines are drawn and they're there and whatever. But you know what? His toe's offside. That's it. Just accept it. You know, I mean, the contentious stuff is really the penalties and the handballs and the free kicks in the run-ups to goals.
Do you understand
and stuff
the handball rule anymore?
That's where we need to...
Do you understand the handball rule anymore?
No, and that's the thing. Like, look. The big question about the handball rule is really quite simple, to me anyway. Is it intentional? If it's intentional, then it's a penalty. It's someone's hand and it's not intentional, but it's going towards the goal. A bit like cricket, right? You know, if it's going towards the wicket.
Good idea, mate. You know, good idea. If you want to make it seem more simple, bring in cricket. Good idea.
But, you know, like, I think that to me, that's the only gray line in there. Was it intentional? Was it not intentional? If it's intentional, then it's a definite penalty, right? Because he's putting his hand up. But if it's not intentional, are we saying that, oh, well, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not? Depends on the silhouette of the guy's arm because he's in an unnatural position. All this stuff. I mean, it's just, to me, it's getting a bit ridiculous.
Mate, I've said this before on this podcast. I want all players to have their arms chopped off and replace arms that move away from the ball and we never have to discuss this bloody handball rule again.
Ever again. Yeah, totally. So they just need to make up their minds, really.
Well, the thing is, one knows. Did you see the Tottenham-Everton game last week? There was one where the ball maybe kind of hit Dele Alli's arm.
I swear
they were watching it and rolling it back and forth and they're going, I don't know what to do.
You know, just don't know. just don't know what to say.
Like, does it hit his hand? Don't know. If it has hit his hand, it's a penalty. Don't know. Should we? What decision can we do? Is there a don't know option? Wouldn't that be great? It's like, but decision pending.
All right.
Decision. Don't know.
There's got to be some memes come out of like the stadium the next morning with the sunrise. You know, they're still there going with the VAR. No decision yet. Please wait.
Why this? Oh, no.
Oh, dear. I mean, you and me, we're not watching the matches at the stadium, right? So we don't have this this idea of what's going on with the VAR. So we're not entirely sure, but of course a lot of the complaints are the fact that the people who are at the stadium, they're paying for this and they're paying for entertainment to be given to them for 90 minutes without stopping, and in comes this VAR stuff where it's stopping the play all the time. So
we need to learn from the NFL here, because I went to the NFL game at the Tottenham Stadium, and in a NFL game you get a lot of referee decisions to see whether a guy is over X line or whatever, and what happens in the stadium that time is they say decision pending. Mm-hmm. They put it up on the TV on the mass, mate, and the TVs at the new Tottenham Stadium, mate, I think they're the largest TVs in the free world. They are massive TVs. There's four of them, and they're just so big. They're really, really big. Anyway, so you put the thing up on this massive TV. You rock and roll it backwards and forwards. Like, it's going here, it's going there. Like, all the fans on one side think that it's for them. All the fans on the other side think it's for them. And then they say, it's that one. And then half the stadium goes, fuck off. And then half the stadium, of course it is. Which is like what happens anyway. But just get the rock and roll up there. Keep the fans in the stadium entertained. And what you do for the fans at home is you cut to commercial. cut to commercial, done, off you go.
Fair enough. And then when you're back, the decision's been made, and that's that.
Yeah, you and go. You haven't had to sit through it and watch and talk and listen to fucking Andy Gray going, hey,
not a good idea. Yeah, no, fair enough. All right, mate, let's move on away from Tottenham, because it looks to me like they're in a spiral and they're probably not going to get out of it. A little bit like being at the top of a tornado and looking down into the eye down the bottom, and then suddenly whirling all the way down until you get down to the bottom, and then that's it. And then you know, so that's how I feel.
I've never actually done that myself before, going, but I'll take your
no,
word
No, I'm it. Just, yeah, just using my imagination, really, more than anything else. Mate, let's move on to the rest of the matches that have been going on, and let's talk a little bit, because I mean, again, because we haven't been on for about 3-4 weeks, we've, you know, lots of stuff has happened. But mate, I'd just like to quickly go on to Chelsea and talk a little bit about Chelsea Crystal Palace. And the reason why I wanted to talk about Chelsea Crystal Palace was because did you see Arrizabalaga's goal against Ajax? Did you get a chance to see?
Oh, the one that was disallowed?
No, the one he scored with his face from Ziyech's corner. Sorry, Kepa. Yeah, Kepa the keeper. Arrizabalaga, whatever.
Mate, lovely finish. Lovely
it was
finish.
Beautiful. It was one of those ones, right, where the ball hits the face and the face seems to, like, meld or something, like the face becomes like something which is not a face anymore. For a split second, the ball goes into the face and the face is not a face anymore, and then it comes out of the face and his face is just like, I've just been faced, you know.
Mate, and there's a couple of those on the internet you can find. The Kepa the keeper one's a beauty. I point you in the direction of Cavani when he scored with his horse face against Portugal in the World Cup.
Of course, I would remember and that. Thank you.
And then my all-time favourite is not even a goal in a game. It's one of those social media videos, and I believe the and they're playing.
Vinnie Jones or
no? They're playing like a a five in like a small goal. It's not a full-size goal, and Angst's very own Kevin De Bruyne is in goal, and I think it's Kyle Walker. It's a Manchester City player who takes a penalty, hits the post, and it hits Kevin De Bruyne smack in the face. And it's a thing of absolute beauty, mostly because Kevin De Bruyne is a whingy little shit.
I was going to say, what was his reaction like?
Oh, like you know when you he's got hit full face on with zero preparation, like zero prep. He's not seen it coming. He's not known what's happened until way after it has happened, and he's just all over the place. And the Man City players are giggling their fucking tits off because they know that De Bruyne is an annoying little shit. I should imagine in and around the training ground, like he's what they call in rugby, what they call a nose. You know what that is?
No, never heard that one before.
No. So a nose is somebody who trains at the same level that they play at. It's someone who stands 2 meters from a free kick until the ref tells him to get 10 meters. It's someone who, who'll argue every throw in, like everyone, the ones he needs got, the ones he hasn't got. He's like just annoying everybody all the time. But that's, you know, but he's kind of right and it's intense. That's what Kevin De Bruyne is. For sure. Kevin De Bruyne is all of those. Kevin De Bruyne would be like at 9-0 down, would chase somebody into the corner and anyways.
Hack him. Yeah.
I hate De Bruyne when he got hit in the face by a ball. Go find it on the internet.
Fair enough. Returning onto Chelsea. Chelsea, mate, look, so we'll just get it over and done with then, shall we? Because I've been very impressed. They've got this Captain America, Mr. Pulisic, who I had to say, he's a bit of a selfish so-and-so, isn't he, with the ball? He doesn't like to pass, does he? He's a bit of a, I hazard to say, but he's a bit of a hazard, really, isn't he?
I think he's quite... I'm all right with okay. I'm all right with Pulisic.
And all right, and Abraham, 10 in 10 games. Are you still think he's not the?
No, he's still shit.
Still shit. All right, okay. Crystal Palace, mate. A quick word for Roy Hodgson. He's still there.
Sorry, mate. Yeah. I've just found the Kevin De Bruyne video. Sorry, I'm giggling.
All right, send it to me, please. All right, good man. And what's his name? Oh my goodness, I've just realised I've shut my page there. And yes, absolutely. What's his name? Poor guy, Roy Hodgson, still there, still kicking it, still alive, and yes, still doing what he does best. So, absolutely wonderful. Good to hear and good to see, and always fun and games. All right, I will quickly watch this so that we actually see what's happening. And oh dear. Oh, and the penalty is what's that penalty? It's how does he take that? He takes that in a.
It's not a Cruyff turn, but it's a... the close-ups where it hits him in the face is hilarious. Oh,
that's a gem. Beautiful. Well done. All right, thanks, mate. That was very nice. I will rewatch that before I go to bed tonight.
The best bit is Sterling and Sané running off in absolute
running off
of laughter. They're so happy.
Gem. All right, well, they came out of it in the end with a 2-0 win. Very well done to Chelsea for that. Mate, let's take a short break. And when we come back, let's review the rest of the Premier League's matches from yesterday. And, of course, preview the big one. Welcome back to part two of Born Offside. It is great to be back, mate. It is good to be back. I'm happy to be back on the airwaves, not the microwaves, but just the airwaves generally, because it is, it's always nice, isn't it, really, quite frankly? Mate, let us get stuck straight into it. Yesterday's matches, Leicester 2, Arsenal 0. Jamie Vardy having a party once again. Madison finishing it off after 75 minutes. Is Emre on the verge? Is he leaving? What do you think?
Mate, I don't know, but you know who might know.
Tell me.
Rebecca Vardy.
Do you reckon she might know?
Yeah.
I reckon. You don't reckon it's Rooney's it's Rooney's missus? I mean, because I think Rooney's missus is the one who's...
Oh, right. She's the detective, isn't she?
She's the private dick. Yeah. So, yes. Rebecca Vardy's just the bitch, basically. She's or the guilty party, as far as we know, because this is Cluedo, isn't it? I mean, this is like, we don't know. And she could have been in there.
I think we know, really, don't we? I think we all know.
Do we all know? It's... Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Rebecca Vardy.
We don't know about that as well. But like,
no, but we don't, do we? What is it? Is it her or not?
No, it's definitely her.
All right, okay. Very good. I just wanted to get your 2 cents on that, and your 2 cents on that are pretty conclusive. You're with Rooney on this one. You're Team Rooney.
Team Colleen. I'm definitely Team Colleen.
All right, okay. And Emre, how much longer do you give him? I mean, he's turning into a bit of a joke, really, isn't he? And the latest is that Luis Enrique apparently is being tapped up to come in and replace him.
Why would you take him? But he's useless as well.
I know, exactly. Why would you replace one idiot with another? Luis Enrique just basically picked up the baton from the amazing job that Guardiola was doing.
Well, yes.
And that was it.
And he did do very... They did have a team that did well, but I think with Neymar, Suarez when he wasn't fat, and Messi 3 years, 4 years younger than he is now, I think you might win a couple of things.
A couple of things, yes.
I think you might.
You would expect him to win the Champions League, but they didn't.
No,
do
mate.
That,
I mean, I mean, Enrique won a treble, didn't he? Mate, I give you a good chance of winning a double. I definitely reckon you'll get a single. Like with that team. You'd have to do really well not to win.
Not to win. You could have put Emre there, and he would have won it as well. So Luis Enrique, you know what are you doing? You know, it's just
mate, especially when Massimo Allegri is sat somewhere. I read taking English lessons.
English lessons. That's right. Yes.
And then you're looking at it and you're going, should we take this guy who's a serial winner, the man who won 6 leagues in a row, got Juventus to the Champions League final, I think it was on 2 occasions, is clearly some kind of tactical genius, also was the last man to win a title with AC Milan, despite the fact that they have no money, and pretty much wins wherever he goes. Or shall we take that Spanish fellow who had one good season?
With a team that was already pre-molded by a genius.
Yes.
What should
with
we
do? With the 3 best players in the world in it.
Totally. Who then went on to take on Spain and look what happened there. So,
but here's the thing. Our resident translator is Spanish. We won't have to hire a new one. On it.
Yeah. There you go. That's true. Very true. Although, I'm sorry to say this, but like Emre, like even I mean, like if you're Spanish, right? And this is a bit dangerous. I should probably not be saying this or anything. But there we go. Even if he was Spanish and he was able to speaking in a kind of broken up English, it would still be kind of understandable if it was on the level of the amount of vocabulary that Emre knows. But Emre's pronunciation is so weird and so bizarre that,
and
like,
so even dull.
Yeah, and even with the quantity of vocabulary that he has got in his brain in English, he still doesn't. I can't listen to his voice. It makes me a bit sick, to be honest. And it reminds me a little bit of Claude Puel, to be honest, as well. Like I think I mentioned this on a pod a little while ago as the reason why Southampton fired Claude Puel, and that's because, like, he's just not a likable person in the media. And so as soon as he does something wrong, the fans are just going to get on him, because the fans want to see someone that they can empathize with after their team has lost or won or whatever, and go to and see the press conference or hear the press conference and get some kind of explanation as to what is going on. But all they're getting from Emre is gobbledygook, you know. So it's just bizarre. Like, you can't even translate half of the stuff that he's talking about. At least if you had, you know, if you had, what's his face at Leeds?
Brisdale.
No, Bielsa. At least if you had Bielsa, you know, who literally knows nothing, you know, but whenever he does come out and say some stuff, it's like, Ipswich. Ipswich, you know, you can have a bit of a giggle and a laugh.
Mate,
you know,
also, also Bielsa is getting results, isn't he?
On that, yeah, of course, and that does help, of course.
And he's taking a team that I think that gets paid £2.50 a week, and he's like almost getting them promoted.
Promoted Premier League, and Emery's been there now for coming on a year and a half to 2 years, has he, or something?
It feels 18, like two
at least
seasons.
18 months, I think. So. And then Rodgers. Rodgers has been there for 8 months in total, and it was the end of last season and just the beginning of this season as well. And you wouldn't expect him to have been doing anywhere near what he's been doing now. But Leicester pretty much walked all over Arsenal yesterday. It was almost embarrassing. Okay, fair enough. They smashed 9 past Southampton. I understand, but and Leicester are high fly. Not, yeah, whatever. They're high flying and doing very, very well. But and the fact is, lots of people came into this game and saying that Leicester were actually favourites as well. So for them to go out and then win it, it's worrying times for Arsenal, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. You know what? I identified at the end of last season that Leicester team is a good team. But I wonder if it's a good squad. Let's see how well they do with a couple of injuries in there. Like, I don't think there's much depth. Like, Chilwell, for example, probably the best left back in the league at the moment. Well, Robertson. Mm-hmm. But, like, okay, top two or three left back. Who plays if Chilwell's out? Now, I'm not suggesting that the Arsenal should send a man round and break Chilwell's legs. I'd never suggest such a thing. But I bet Rebecca Vardy knows a bloke, which is why it's probably a good thing that he's in the Leicester team. His legs are probably safe.
There you go.
I had a point there somewhere.
Yeah, no, your point is like you said, squad depth, we'll have to see, because they've been
squad
choosing the same 11.
And Rebecca
for the past.
Vardy is dodgy as fuck.
Yeah, totally. It's a lethal combination, real concoction there. You have to say yes that they've chosen, I think, the same 11 for the last 5 or 6 games now. And you know, Madison came out the other day, I think, in an interview and said, you know, but it's not just us. The squad that, you know, the lads that are coming in are
That's
doing really well.
That's the kind of thing you have to say to keep them happy.
Yeah,
have you ever seen Liar Liar?
Exactly.
With Jim Carrey. Now,
I feel like I should have done, but anyway, yeah, go on.
It's a long time ago. It's a good one. And during his phase where he cannot tell any lies, Jim Carrey's daughter says to him, "But Daddy, Mummy says that fat people are beautiful on the inside." And Jim Carrey replies with, "That's a thing that ugly people tell themselves to make them feel better." Now, what Chris Madison has done is he's told a lie to make the Leicester squad feel better.
James Maddison. Yeah.
What did I call him?
Chris. But that's okay. You're calling him Chris Maddison. I don't know. You were calling him Chris Maddison before we started recording as well. You're like, Chris Maddison. It's not James.
Chris Maddison. He must be someone.
I don't know. Google him and find out. But anyway,
He's assistant professor of computer science at Toronto University. That's who he is.
Oh yeah, him. Yeah, what's he up to? Oh no, it doesn't matter anyway. But keep going.
He's quite a handsome fella with a beard.
Stop it. That's enough. Veer back. Stop. Come back.
Okay.
Possibly they might derail. Okay, so Leicester not for the Premier League, not title challengers. Then top four possibility though.
Yes,
have to say yes, wouldn't you?
Let's see what happens when it gets tight, because we all know mm-hmm. how well a Brendan Rodgers team does when it gets tight. They mm-hmm. don't. They fuck mm-hmm. everything up. And let's see what happens when they get a few injuries or a few arrests.
In the case
of Jamie Vardy.
Careful. All right, moving on. Let's move on to... crikey. I guess we have to very quickly. We'll have to move as quickly as possible. Southampton 1, Everton 2. It looks like the rails are severely coming off here for Southampton. They're in big, big trouble. Everton ahead after 4 minutes from Davis with a header at the back post. Ings after 50 minutes, so 5 minutes after the start of the second half, managing to bring one back. But Richarlison on 75, making it 2-1 for Everton. Mates, how much longer does Hasenhüttl have?
I would give him a while because I think he's a good coach. I think the problem, honestly, I think the problem at Southampton is you've got shit players.
Is what I think.
You haven't got mm-hmm. anyone who can put the ball in the back of the net. Like, no one.
Mm-hmm. No, like, true.
Your biggest goal threat is a James Ward-Prowse free kick. That's your biggest goal threat. I mean, I'm not even joking, mate. It is, isn't it?
Probably. I think so. It's Sofyan Boufal, you know, coming on. When he's not losing the ball, he's occasionally doing something interesting. That's the issue that I personally have with Sofyan Boufal. I think he's great. He's tricky on the ball. He's wonderful, you know, but he just loses possession too often. He really does. He loses possession a lot. And his final ball isn't always very good, although he did obviously make the one for Ings in this game. Jenny Poo coming back might... sort of spur a little bit of something up front. If they can get Jenny Poo, Boufal and Nathan Redmond all firing, that's our front three, really, I think. I mean, because, you know, you're supposed to have Ings up in there as well. And Che Adams, I don't know what's happened to him. Started the first seven games in a row and now, you know, it's just he got dropped just before the Portsmouth match. Ings scored two against Portsmouth. People were thinking he was just coming in because it was a League Cup match and he hasn't had a shout in since. So but yes, absolutely, the problem really is it's from the top right through to the back. You know, the faster they get rid of Yoshida, I've been singing this hymn sheet for a long, long time. Yoshida needs to go, and he's not even playing, and I still think he needs to go, you know. So but Bednarek, Vestergaard, and whoever else they put at the back, whether it's Stevens or Yoshida or whoever else, Danso, who they supposedly brought in, this 20-year-old who's supposed to be, you know very good, you know, they've hardly even played him there. You know, it's just an absolute mess, and they just look despondent. They look like they've got no confidence. They've got no ability on the ball, and they're just depressing to watch right now. And if something's not done very, very quickly here, they're in big trouble. Either they dip heavily into the market in January to try and invest in some kind of reinforcements, or they are seriously in big trouble. So, well, thanks for giving me your opinion there. I know I took charge after that, but that's my two cents, and I don't really want anything else. Mate, let's just wrap up with the rest of the Premier League action from yesterday so that we can talk about the big one tomorrow. Mate, Burnley 3, West Ham United 0. How happy are we at this result here?
Pretty happy, but I don't particularly love Burnley, you know?
Okay. But surely you love them more than you hate... Sorry, you hate them less than you hate West Ham, though.
Correct. So,
Yeah. And it's always good to see Wood score from New Zealand. You know, it's good to see New Zealand as a Kiwi score on the score sheet. So that's always nice. Burnley's goals, once again, all very typical hoof upfield to one of the front two, knock it down and see if you can get someone else on the ball. It weren't quite like that, but they were close enough near as, damn it. Newcastle 2, Bournemouth 1. Newcastle really starting to just managing to get away from the relegation zone. And Steve Bruce doing a job with that crack nose of his.
Crack nose. I don't think that... yes, it's cracked. It's not crack.
Yes. No, it is. It's cracked nose. That's what I said. Not cracked nose. Bloody hell. well done, Newcastle. Nose. They seem to... Yeah, it's all the cracked nose again. They seem to be coming back into it, which is really great. And finally, the last game, which was actually on Friday night, was Norwich City 0, Watford 2. Daniel Farke, the manager with the most interesting name to attempt to pronounce, if we want to try
Farke
and do it in a...
Let's just call him Danny Fux.
So Danny Fux, he's... he's gonna be, why are we laughing so much? That's so childish. So childish. His name is Farke. We've got to, come on, you can't do this to him, you know. Ugh. It's not his fault, is it?
No, it's not.
No, all right. Poor Danny, he's next on. He's surely he's got to be book his favourite to next on the line.
Really, he got him up though, didn't he? I think he'll be okay.
You reckon? All right, and okay. Before this game, before this weekend's game, I would have said Silva was pretty close, but you know, they've mustered this win now, and it looks like he should be safe as well. You still think Solskjaer is going to be the next one out? Surely not. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Solskjaer's going to go. He might have gone now.
let's quickly check. Time recording. All right. Well, now is he gone now? Check quickly. Refresh BBC. Nah, nothing there. Anyway, it will happen very, very soon. You heard it here first, everyone. He's going. All right, let's have a quick break, mate, and then let's wrap up with the big one tonight. Welcome back to part 3 of Born Offside. Dave, we've got an incredible game of football coming along tonight, and it is the one that everybody was putting in their calendars at the beginning of the season. And it's after everything that has happened over the last 2.5 years, would you say that this is a pivotal moment in Premier League football? Would you go as far as saying, that this could be? And the reason why I say that is because 2.5 to 3 years ago was when Pep Guardiola came in. He had one season where he was seen as not being successful because he didn't win the title straight away on the first season, but he was laying the seeds. They then went on to smash everyone, 100 points. Then last season, they smashed everyone again, albeit just by 1 point against Liverpool. Manchester City became the noisy neighbours who derailed Manchester United off their perch, really, when you think about it. Okay, Chelsea had a couple of seasons in there as well. But mate, I don't think anyone expected Liverpool to be the team that they are at the moment, right? You look back 2 or 3 seasons, 4 seasons, before the Klopster came in, or even after the first season or so that Klopster was in there, I don't think anyone would have surely expected Liverpool to be a team that would have come in and derailed Manchester City in the way that they would, because Manchester City were surely the ones that were going to be winning the next 10 years in a row, weren't they?
Possibly. But mate, I want to ask you the question. Mm-hmm. The pantheon of great Premier League rivalries of mm-hmm. Ferguson versus Wenger, of Ferguson yes. versus Mourinho, of Mourinho yes. versus everyone, of Benitez
yes.
versus Mourinho, of Benitez, yes. of all of that, where yes. does this rivalry rank? Because I put it to you, it's really, like in terms of the quality of the teams, probably, and you would have thought, because you get better as you go along, but probably mm-hmm. by quite some way, the mm-hmm. two most technically accomplished teams, like not individuals, mm-hmm. but like teams that's really out there, should be yep. a fantastic game of football. Like we've had like a a 4-3 that they've given us. And, you know, there'll be goals aplenty and and all of that stuff. But I don't know, mate. It's not the same for me unless someone starts gouging someone's eye.
Like, someone starts throwing a pizza at someone.
Something really rotten. Like, where's the Stevie Gerrard ploughing into someone 30 seconds after coming off of the bench and getting a red card? Where's that? Is Bernie Bush going to, you know, turn around and kick Mo Salah in the head? If you're thinking about it, Bernie, do it.
Just do it.
Please. I think the closest thing we have is the whole Raheem Sterling used to play for Liverpool thing. I quite like it if Sterling, like opening minute, Sterling rampages through on goal, slots it in and does the old ear cut to the Klopp.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that I'd like. Yeah.
Intensity. That would be good. That would be very good.
Up a notch. And then if Guardiola starts coaching, I don't want to know, Robertson. Like, just, you know, he's telling him, no, don't make that run. Go
back. Because Robertson, you're better than that.
Cancelo shit on the outside, mates. Just go around him like that.
Mate, you're totally right. I mean, I put it to you just recently, obviously, that there was a little bit of that diving lark that was brought up. Do you see that with Guardiola?
Pep's tried to turn it up a little bit. And, mate, I love Klopp, but Klopp doesn't react when he's provoked. He needs to start reacting. He needs to come back. He needs to come back with a. He needs to come back with a. Yeah, well, fuck him or something, you know?
Or at least I'm not Catalan politician in jail, you know.
Yeah, at least, you know, at least my country's got independence in your face.
Really?
Does he think that? Well, he should get out from behind his yellow ribbon and watch the football. Oh
no.
I mean, I'm not saying that's my opinion. It's just what Klopp needs to do to just turn it up a bit, you know?
It's very true. It's very true. You're right. But he didn't react, did he? He hasn't come out publicly and said anything at all about that. It's just been all
punditry
stuff.
Ferguson would have been all over that shit. Ferguson would be like, yeah, butcher's dogs. Yeah, referees. fuck you. You know?
He would have. Straight away, he would have loved it. Oh, mate.
Like, think of the fights that Fergie picked over the years. Like, Keegan. He picked a fight with Kevin Keegan, the loveliest man in the world. He picked a fight. Like, he had Benitez. Benitez was, like, you remember that rant that Benitez went on with, where he had the piece of paper and he was like, I talked to you about just the facts. He proper wound Benitez up. Wenger.
That's very true.
Wenger, like, barely talked to the man. Like, they proper disliked each other. And
mate,
then,
and how about the Mourinho speciality of failure?
Oh, mate, Jose. Jose, what a lovely protagonist. Like, a specialist in failure. Eye gouging the terminally ill Tito Villanova.
Yep. Stepping on Messi's hand when he was at Real Madrid, I believe. Hiding in a laundry basket.
Like, where's the needle, mate? Where's Vieira versus Keane? Where is it? Yeah. Give me that.
Very true. Very true.
Give me that.
Instead, we have two teams who are beautiful on the eye. They're gonna provide a game of intense intensity, if I can possibly put that. You know, it's gonna be really a high octane, and it's gonna be wonderful to watch. And I think it's gonna be, you know, definitely.
No needle, though, mate. I want a bit
but,
of needle.
But you're right. No needle. Nothing that I can really
get,
sort of.
Can we get Sergio Ramos in? Just for this game.
Just for this game.
Mate, did you see Sergio midweek? Did you see him midweek? No,
what are you up to? What's he up to?
Right, so midweek, Real Madrid beat Galatasaray 6-0. And this
oh, yes.
There's this fella from Brazil, Rodrigo. Yeah?
Right, yep.
Rodrigo, this, I think, 18, 19-year-old teenager from Brazil.
Scored a hat-trick in the end, didn't
he? Where have they got him from? Opening minute, left foot, bottom corner, ping. Beautiful goal. Then I think 3-4 minutes later, gorgeous header, 2-0. Right?
Yep.
Pen awarded. This kid has a chance for his hat trick, the fastest Champions League hat trick, the youngest Champions League hat trick. Surely Captain Sergio will give the ball to the young fella. fat chance.
Nope.
Sergio's gone, no, why would he take it? I'm taking it. I'm Sergio fucking Ramos. And then and then he does an elevated Panenka. Like it was like not a traditional, because it was still, oh, fucking, mate, he's a shit house of a dick of a cunt. God, you love him. Like he's box office.
He is. He is box office. That's very for sure. It would have been nice had we seen him in the Premier League. It really would have. It's obviously too late now, isn't it? So he's not gonna come now. But it would have been great to have seen him.
Where's the shit house?
You're right.
There isn't one.
Henderson. Fernandinho. No. Fernandinho can. Sometimes.
I mean, they can be like, but a proper shit house mouths off, and Fernandinho is an intelligent shit house. Like he's like,
no, you know, that's true.
He's like the shithouse's shithouse because like he's underrated. He's like the Claude Makélélé of shithousery. You know, like I want Suarez. Can we have Suarez and Ramos in for this match?
Can we have him back? Come on.
just have him in. Like get rid of Lovren. Lovren for Ramos. Straight swap. And then Aguero out, Suarez in. Done.
Beautiful. That's it. Game done. On the actual match, mate, what do you reckon?
Sorry.
Because Edison's out. How big a miss do you reckon that's going to be? He's got Claudio Bravo coming instead.
There you go.
And I would have, mate.
It's not that you're going to miss Edison.
Should have been Walker. No,
Kyle Walker. Mate.
Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker, who's officially Manchester City's third choice keeper now.
Can you imagine if Guardiola put Kyle Walker in goal?
Oh, respect.
I mean, like, he's already put... Was it in the previous game or 2 games ago that he already put Fernandinho and Rodri instead of Stones? Stones was on the bench. And as the two centre-backs, there were two defensive central midfielders in centre-back.
I mean, it's revolutionary.
It's revolutionary now.
With these
massive games,
and to be fair to Pep, it's usually a Champions League semi-final that he does this shit in.
True.
But usually in this massive games, he goes, you know what? I'm going to play Philippe Lahm as the number 10. Yeah. And everyone goes, what? And then everyone is like, this is
what?
The most shaped modern football. He is without doubt the best coach of the last 2 decades. But this sounds nuts.
you know when you have you, I don't know if you play chess much. Do you play chess at all?
I used to when I was a kid.
All right, okay. Well, when you play chess, me too. I haven't played in a while, but I did used to sort of dabble just a little bit more afterwards. And the thing about chess is that what happens is you think about moves in advance, right? You start to formulate like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, whatever different moves which are sort of coming in advance, and you start thinking about what they might do as well, and the different sort of things that they could, possibilities of things that they could do, whether you could miss it, you could not miss it. And when you think so hard and so deeply into these things, you get so embroiled in it that when you finally kind of sort of get to a point where you're like, I'm almost there, I've almost made the most amazing decision in the whole world, and then you can't make that final decision, you can't find it, and you've been there for 15 minutes trying to think of the move that you should have made, you go back and you try and think of what the first kind of thing, you very often you end up doing it. You're just like, oh, screw it, I'll just move that pawn up, you know. And it was the worst move that you could possibly do, and it's simply because you've just overthought it so much, and you got to the point where you're just like, you just kind of explode, and you can't go back on yourself to see what it is that you're going to do. And I think that's possibly what happens to Guardiola. It just gets to a slightly simpler brain. You know, if he wasn't so intelligent, if he wasn't so smart, then he might actually end up, you know, coming up with the best results at the end of it. But,
I don't know. Yeah. What I think has to happen. So also remember last year when Liverpool had a similar lead, it was a bit later in the season, right? I think it was like January. Mm-hmm. But Liverpool had a similar lead, and they went to the Etihad.
Just the Mahrez penalty miss, or
no? This is the second game where they went. They went to the Etihad, and it was a really good game. And then City went 1-0 up. I think it was Aguero, and then I think Mane pulled it back for 1-1. I remember Robertson had the assist, and then Sane scored, and City won 2-1.
That's right. Yes.
And essentially, if Liverpool had drawn that game, they would have won the title. And we all kind of knew that even back then.
Yeah.
And I was guilty of wanting City to win that game so that we had a title race. But I didn't really want City to win it. I just wanted it to be exciting. Now, I think in this game, I'd really like Liverpool to win, because then we'll have someone different win the thing. I also think that City have some problems in the centre of defence, and now with their goalkeeper missing. Plus, it's at Anfield. I mean, I think Klopp has got to go for him. Like, just all guns fucking blazing. Just go for him. Like, because, I mean, City, they have a problem. It's defensively. Just, but like, turn up the intent. Like, fucking go for him, fellas. Like, all over him. And
not what they did away to at Old Trafford.
No, none of
they
that
should have gone for them, where they should have got they should have gone for the jugular on that one. They really should have put them to bed, and then they didn't show up, did they? They just didn't show up. They just
they need to pretend that they're 3-0 down to Barcelona, and it's like death or glory, and
there you
just
go.
Fucking go for
it. And that's what he should say to them pre-talk. Yeah,
and I think if Liverpool do win today, which I think they will. And I kind of want them to do. That's the Premier League over, and then we don't have to discuss the title race for the rest of the year. Thank you very much.
All right, okay. Yeah, we can talk about all the trials and tribulations that Tottenham are going through. Yeah,
no, relegation
and everyone else. Yeah,
all of that stuff, and then we can just say, all right, Liverpool won it. City second, done.
Mate, going down. Norwich, Southampton, West Ham. That's my new three. That's what I'm. That's
Norwich,
what I'm thinking.
Southampton, West Ham. Well, West Ham won't go down.
You don't think so? I mean, they've been playing abysmally. They're terrible.
Nah, their players are too good.
Okay, yeah, no. I'm just being hopeful then, aren't I, really? Watford then.
The current battle. Jesus, mate. Liverpool win today. They've won the title. The current three are going down, and then probably the top four won't change much either. Fuck it. What's the point of the rest of the season? Wipe it off.
That's it. Start again. Give them all a 6 months off. You know, the players are all obviously extremely, like, probably worn out, and they've been intensely going for this for years and years and years. A lot of these players, you know, so just give them 6 months off. You know, they probably deserve it.
Fair enough. Done. Yeah. Next.
All right. Two more matches very quickly, mate, and let's wrap up. Manchester United, Brighton. Is there anything you'd like to say about this at all?
Yes. Put Ollie out of his misery. Get Pochin through there. 40 million, Allegri in at Tottenham. Let's accelerate that. Come on, fellas. I'm on you, Brighton.
All right. Okay. Or why don't you just take Potter?
No, I'm a proper manager. Not someone who teaches ballet to the Scandinavians.
And no, hello?
No. Hello. No.
I've been really impressed with him. I've been so impressed with. All right, okay, fair enough. Eddie Howe?
No.
All right, Manchester United, Brighton. Put him out of his misery, Brighton. 3-0 win. At the Old Trafford's nest. That'll be nice. And the final match for us to look at very quickly, it's the Midlands Derby, or a Midlands Derby anyway. It's Wolves versus Aston Villa. Mate, this should be tasty tonight as well, shouldn't this?
That'll have a bit of needle in it.
That should. Should have a bit of needle. I'm not sure if Grealish is back yet or not, but if he is, then obviously that would be very good. But they did really well last week without him in the team anyway. I've been impressed with Aston Villa, even though they're not down. They're a bit down the bottom and they're not doing too well. They've been okay, haven't they? I think they'll be safe this season, won't they? What do you reckon?
Villa, they'll be close to it.
Okay.
I reckon.
All right. Well. hopefully them over Southampton anyway. And and of course, Wolves as well, they're dangerously teetering down there at the bottom as well, which is a bit of a surprise really this season, seeing how well they did last season, and how, you know, Nuno Espirito Santo was saying that, you know, Europa would not distract them, the Europa League would not distract them, they'd be okay. But yeah, they're having some issues down there, aren't they, Wolves?
Yeah, they are, but I think it's what we all thought that they would have, and they're still a very good team on their day. They've had some good results. They won away at City. They'll be fine. They'll finish mid-table, and I fancy them to go a long way in the Europa. And I think they'll just be fine. I think they'll finish 10th and get to the semi of the Europa. That's what I think.
There you go. That's awfully nice.
That's a lovely season. I'll take that for Tottenham right now. Right now, you semi-final in Europe and finish in the top 10. I'll take that now.
You gem, you beauty. All right, okay. Well, thank you very much, Monsieur David, once again for coming along and partaking in this. Obviously, thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in and listening in. We hope you have enjoyed yourselves, and we hope you will enjoy the amazing match that is due to start in about 6 hours' time, I think it will be. So, time of recording anyway. So, good luck to everybody, and fingers crossed, we will be back sometime either next week or Lord knows when. Dave?
Yes, maybe. Not next week. It's internationals, isn't it?
Oh, it's internationals. That's totally... Oh, gosh, yes, it is. All right, okay. Internationals it is. So probably see us the week after next to preview the Premier League.
Nice. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.